Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, the book of Habakkuk, and you're going to need a second to find it, so I'm going to give you that, the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to take just a moment tonight to challenge us a little bit about Thanksgiving, something to think about a little bit. Have you ever thought about the fact that, the whole world is not celebrating Thanksgiving? You realize that? This is something that is special to America. Although I will say, there are some very interesting and sound like a lot of fun festivals that are celebrated in other countries. Some interesting ones. I was looking at some this afternoon. You know, they actually have a tomato throwing festival in Spain. Happens every year, okay? There's a day in Spain where they throw tomatoes at each other. They do. It's a big event. Thousands and thousands of people participate in this. How many of you would love to celebrate Tomato Throwing Day? It'd be, hey, sign me up. Gloucester, England, they have a cheese rolling day. A cheese rolling day. Now, honest. A round block of cheese, okay? Everybody brings their cheese, okay, to the hill. And they line up, and they drop the cheese, starts to roll down the hill, and then they chase their cheese. The cheese that goes the furthest wins, okay? This is a real thing. How many of you would love to be a part of the cheese rolling festival day in Gloucester, England? Okay, all right. So there's a lot of festivals, events, carnivals, if you will, holidays that take place in other countries that we don't celebrate here. And we do celebrate some things here in America that other places do not for a variety of reasons. Thanksgiving is special to us. But I want to talk about a misconception tonight. And so many times, Thanksgiving can be centered around having a positive experience or having a good year. And if you've had a good year, if you've had a fun and an easy year, then hey, you know, then you really get into Thanksgiving. Okay? Again, the misconception is that in order to be thankful and to have an awesome Thanksgiving, then that means that you had to have had some great things happen to you maybe that year. Okay, that's actually contrary to a lot of things surrounding Thanksgiving. But I want us to notice Habakkuk here, Habakkuk chapter 3. I actually believe there was somebody who used these verses not too long ago in their testimony. But I want you to see here, Habakkuk chapter 3, some interesting verses here, starting in verse 17. Now, before we read it, let me tell you something about Habakkuk, okay? He was a prophet. God was using him in Jerusalem, get this, before Babylonian captivity, okay? Past 2 weeks, talking about living counterculturally, right? Okay, King Jehoiakim's on the throne. King Nebuchadnezzar comes to Jerusalem, besieges the city, right? Takes away people to Babylon, thus entering in the Babylonian captivity that lasted for 70 years, okay? Before that happened, Habakkuk is prophesying, probably lived the same time as Jeremiah, in Jerusalem to people who are not listening to him. He was a frustrated man. In fact, if you spend time reading chapters 1 and 2 of Habakkuk, you'll find a conversation that is taking place between himself and God. In fact, he was asking God the question, Lord, it seems like you're not doing anything when your people have treated you so poorly. Sometimes we have the same thoughts. Lord, why do you allow people to profane and blaspheme your name, and you don't do anything? Sometimes we have the same questions. Habakkuk was in that situation, and he's having a conversation with God, chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Lord, as he writes and pins this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord gives him a picture of something that will happen to Israel in the future. Okay, a part of that prophecy that would come about is where we're at here. Look at it, what it says. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Bible says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Okay, so he's talking about here an event that would take place in Israel. Before we go too far, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would, Lord, bless this passage of Scripture tonight. Although our time here is short, I pray, God, that you would help us to see some things about what it means to be thankful and when we are to be thankful. Lord, I pray that this would strike a chord in all of our hearts, that, Father, would not soon be forgotten. Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving and we talk about it and we, Lord, have meals that point to it and, Lord, we get opportunities to testify of you, I pray, Lord, that we would not forget this very, very important truth. May you be glorified. Lord, may we see you through the book of Habakkuk. In your name we pray. Amen. I want you to see that, number one, when there are changes, be thankful that the Lord is unchanging. When there are changes, be thankful that the Lord is unchanging. I want you to think about the description here that Habakkuk gives of this famine that would affect so many other things in this area. Notice, for instance, in verse 17, he begins by talking about one of the sources of the people's provision and food, and that was the fig tree. The fig trees in that area yielded all kinds of fruit. This was a very plenteous tree that they could go to and they could take from and that would repeatedly give vegetation. It was something that everybody knew what a fig tree was. Everybody loved fig trees for the fact that they yielded so much fruit. And so it's almost like Habakkuk starts with this great thing that everybody loves and that everybody gravitated to and sort of rejoiced around, and that was the fig tree. But what does he say about it? He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Habakkuk says, you know you love the fig tree? There's coming a day when it's not going to yield blossom or fruit. Neither shall fruit be on the vines. The labor of the olive tree shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat, and flocks shall be cut off from the herd. You notice here that things were changing. The fig tree would not blossom. It was such a big deal. The fruit on the vines, there would be none. The olive tree would not produce. The fields would yield no harvest, and the cattle and the sheep would be lost. But notice here in verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So, with all of these bad things that Habakkuk could see would take place, and they most certainly did take place, he does not divorce those bad things when the fact that although things will change, God never changes. Notice a couple of words that he mentions here. Sometimes we take words for granted in Scripture. Notice verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, the word here, rejoice, means to triumph in something. Okay? It means to, in other words, it points to God as being the one who is the victor. Okay, so even though we have this negative thing happening over here, which the fig tree not blossoming and the ground not yielding vegetation, even though we have those things, Habakkuk says, hey, you know what? That doesn't change who God is, and God never changes. He is always victorious, and we can triumph in Him. So what does that look like, sound like, for you and I, okay? Difficulty comes. We have a rough year. Things don't work out how we want them to. We get bad news. Maybe something happens to your family. Maybe it's a canceled trip. Maybe it's illness of some sort. Maybe it's a desire that doesn't come to be. Regardless, something bad takes place. And it's a confidence that looks to and says, hey, you know what? God's got this. God's got this. My problem, although it be negative, and although it may be a real problem, is not too big for God, because he ultimately triumphs. Okay? So this is recognizing that in the midst of a hard thing, I can still acknowledge God as the victor in my life. Okay? Now notice the emotional side of the emotional side which he introduces when he says this. He says, not only will I rejoice, verse 18, in the Lord, but notice this, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Joy here has the idea of to get excited. Okay, it literally in the Hebrew, it means to run around. Okay, now Felicity gets excited easily. Okay, and you don't wonder when she's excited. Okay, sometimes she'll just tear off and she'll start running around the island in our kitchen, and she just gets the biggest kick out of it. She's laughing, you know, she's falling, but then she's back up and she's laughing, she's going around. She thinks it's the funniest thing. She's just excited, you know, that to run around. That's the idea. Okay, so get the picture, right? Okay, Habakkuk, the bad things, okay? They're real things. They're challenging things are here, but they're not bigger than God. God's got this. And here's the emotion. Because God's got this, boy, I can get excited about that. So I don't have to be over here at this place of, well, it's not really been a great year. Well, you know, I mean, everybody else is being thankful, and you know what, hey, have a great time with that, but I haven't had the year that I wanted. You know, that's good for them, but Habakkuk's not there. Habakkuk's, it's going to be rough, and it is rough, but hey, I can triumph in the Lord because he is the victor, and I can allow that to affect my heart no matter what's happening over here. And I can be joyous, as he said. You ever thought about the challenges that the pilgrims faced? I mean, you realize that Thanksgiving is tied to an event that happened a long time ago, 1621 and all that. Think about this for just a second. Some of the challenges that the pilgrims faced right before they celebrated Thanksgiving, right? Think about this. First, the pilgrims faced the problem of very bad timing. Okay, they arrived in Massachusetts on November 9th and did not find a place that they felt was suitable to live until December the 11th. This was important because it meant that they did not have time to really get settled before the bad winter set in. If they could have gotten settled sooner, they might have had better homes and a better prepared themselves for the winter. Second, they faced the problems that came with the technologies of the times. We have people in here that enjoy technology and innovation. They had very little of it in that day. Their arrival at New York was delayed, or the New World was delayed months because of problems with the ship that was supposed to accompany them to the New World. In addition, they ended up in Massachusetts rather than their intended destination, which was further south. Technological issues. Third, they faced the problem of disease and starvation. Now, this was true even though the pilgrims were luckier than many people. Mayflower stayed with them throughout the winter, provided shelter and a source of food. They had relatively good site on which they could live and had access to corn that the Indians had stored. Even so, various diseases and hunger caused about half of them to die. Well, can you imagine? Okay, you set out on a journey. All right, and over the process of how long that took, you get to know people. Okay, you've got a good group of people. You get there, and winter set in. You've overshot your destination. You got problems all over the place, and then you get through it. And on the other side of winter, you find about half of the people that you set off with are dead. Well, that would be a difficult thing. Okay, do you see where I'm going with this? If there were a group of people, okay, that could have hung their heads and said, woe is me, it certainly would have been the pilgrims. And yet, we have a national holiday that was built out of a people group who had the challenges, and they were real, But who knew better to take a moment and to acknowledge their Lord and to be thankful to Him? Habakkuk is right at that place. Did you notice the final verse? Look at it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, with all of the sadness and the spoil around it. Verse 18 and 19, it says, "Yea, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy, get excited in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." Just one point tonight, and it is this: when there are changes, be thankful that God is unchanging. And don't fall for the misconception that in order to be thankful, things have to be a bed of roses. They most certainly do not. Because in spite of our challenges, we can look to a God who is never changing and always the victor. And that is something that we can get excited about. And I hope that you will. All right? Be thankful, no matter what.